Tonight on the WrestleMania 34 AfterBuzz TV After Show, the big show in a Big Easy is over and lots of big surprises. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are live here at the AfterBuzz TV studios on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, and SoundCloud. If you're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the wonderful world of AfterBuzz TV as we're here to break down WrestleMania 34. Hailing from New Orleans, what is up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg, sitting in the seat of Mr. Steve Kaufman, who is in New Orleans right now. I get to be filling in for him here, and we got a jam-packed show for you. We got 7 hours of wrestling to talk about, and let's look at the rest of our panel tonight. First off, lovely lady on the other side of the table. You've seen her rocking out the women's wrestling show as well as the Mixed Max Challenge. Miss Anissa Barr's in the house.
Yay!
That's the amount of energy she has left after 7 hours of wrestling, but it's cool. Yes. And the regular fixture here on the pay-per-view after show, the encyclopedia of sports entertainment himself, Mr. George Hermosa.
Yay!
For those of you listening, he gave a thumbs up. And yeah, Steve is in New Orleans. Denise is in New Orleans. They'll be back for the Backlash pay-per-view after show here, but I'm excited to fill in. Anissa, I know you're excited to fill in. Woo! WrestleMania's in the books, guys.
Yes.
What a show.
What a show.
Like, first immediate thoughts to stand out when everything's all said and done.
I think it was the most visually, most beautiful looking WrestleMania I've ever seen in my life.
The set?
Yeah. And the set was gorgeous. Just in general, like whether it's a set, whether it's the lighting, whether it's the entrances, whether it's some of the outfits, like I was just visually in awe so many times throughout the whole show. We'll get into my thoughts on the actual show, but overall, I pretty good.
From start to finish, amazing. Every match had its moments. And that's what WrestleMania is all about, creating moments.
Nicholas.
WrestleMania, lots of moments. We're going to get to him a little later. Lots of moments. I love the set. I love the pantry. I thought it was very interesting where there was a lot of, like, the entrances were solely for the eyes of the people watching on the network with the computer graphics, which was a little different. I thought that was nice. Crowd was into it for almost the entire length of the show. And we got, I think, a lot of surprise finishes, a lot of questions that will be getting answered over the next week. And why don't we just jump right into the kickoff show?
Might as well. Let's
Might as well. So we had three matches in the kickoff. All three, I thought, were very entertaining, and it gave a good amount of time for each one of them. The first one was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. My only real surprise in this match was the fact that there was no surprise people in this match. We didn't have anyone from NXT. We didn't have any returns or anything like that.
Kind of.
It was just the lower card of the roster.
My actually, a quick question is, do you think these were the right three for the kickoff show?
Yeah.
Because last year, everybody remembers that initially the SmackDown Women's Championship was supposed to be on the kickoff show. You know, tweet this, tweet that. Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin ended up switching roles with them. So I'm just curious, like, when I saw that these were the matches for the kickoff show, I was like, thank God the Usos are going to be on the main card.
Well, I'm thrilled that the Usos are going to be on the main card.
I think initially I thought, well, Andre's going to be on the main show because of the big documentary that's coming out. They're going to make a big push. I thought the Women's Battle Royale, because it's the first time, you know, that's going to be on the main show. But I think that kind of hurt the how big it's supposed to be when Moolah
But then if you're putting those things on the main card, because there has to be two or three matches that would have to get on there, so which ones would you switch? To me, the only possibility, I was expecting both Battle Royals to be on the kickoff, and I was kind of thinking, believe it or not, that the Raw tag titles would have been on the kickoff instead of the Cruiserweight, only because want people to watch on the Hour of USA to see who Braun's mystery partner was going to be.
See, I knew that the Cruiserweight match was going to be on the kickoff show for the fact that there's only been one or maybe two Cruiserweight matches on Raw in general in like the last 2 months, three months. So I was like, there's no way this network exclusive show is going to be on the actual main card. So, and now in hindsight, I think the right three matches were the right matches for the kickoff show.
Yep. And we start off with, like we were saying, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We had close to 30 guys in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of tag teams. That's pretty much what it was.
Exactly.
And then all the tag team guys got eliminated first, just about. And Curt Hawkins. And then
still on his losing streak.
Well, when I was looking at who was in the ring for the Battle Royal, my first thought was, oh, this would be amazing if Curt Hawkins actually won this. Mm-hmm. And then second was, let Goldust, because Goldust still has the worst WrestleMania record. You would know this, you're the encyclopedia. He's never won at a WrestleMania. He's like 0-9 or 0-10 now. And I was just like, oh, let him, just give him something. Just something. But they didn't. But I thought it was fun. I liked the amount of time they gave it. This was like a 20 to 25 minute battle royal. Mm-hmm. The final three came down to Matt Hardy, Baron Corbin, and Mojo Rawley. Mojo won it last year. Corbin won it a couple years ago. And then Matt Hardy's just insane. And Corbin and Mojo are pretty much ganging up on Hardy when the lights go out and Bray Wyatt returns for the first time since the final deletion. Bray is in the ring and helps Matt Hardy win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Timekeeper was confused for a second because he thought that Matt Hardy and Bray were going to go at it for the final two, but they're like, no, Bray wasn't really in the match. Bell rings, Hardy wins, Bray and Matt embrace, they celebrate. Bray Wyatt's a good guy now.
Or is he?
Well, right now he is.
I remember they kind of teased it like 2 years ago after Mania 32, but then he got hurt. Because I think they had like Roman and Bray team up for like a day. And then Bray got hurt like the week of. And I was like, oh, I kind of want to see how face Bray would have done. I'm kind of intrigued, to be honest with you. I think I don't want to say the right person won, because I think with these Battle Royals, and I like the fact that there's really no clear-cut person that should win the Battle Royal.
Right.
Because honestly, like we see... Maybe this is good, maybe this is bad, that, like, the winner of the Battle Royal nothing really happens, you know? Like, it's not a guaranteed push. It's not a guaranteed, like, all right, now you're going to get a title shot. You don't really get anything aside from a trophy that maybe is bad, but it's good that it really makes the winner unpredictable. And also, it kind of, you can add a notch to something, you know? It's like Baron Corbin. Oh, he was the winner of the Battle Royal. Oh, Mojo Rawley, he was the winner of Battle Royal. Something to always, you know, give somebody an accolade. So I like that aspect of it, and I think it was kind of cool to have start off with Mania with, you know, a crowd full of people deleting. And of course, again, one more time, it's not, I don't want to do it, it's finger out and straight across. Finger out, straight across. No angling upwards, just finger out.
This has been your deletion lesson. Courtesy of George Hermosa.
That's right.
That's going to be a GIF.
But so, how do we feel overall with the fact that Matt Hardy did win this? Do we feel it's a little awkward that it wasn't like a young up-and-comer winning this one, and it was one of the older guys? Or now we also throw in the fact that Jeff is due to come back very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Matt with now some single success. And you have Bray kind of aligning with him. Are they all just going to merge together? Is someone going to play the jealousy type?
Yeah, I mean, Bray is great on his own, but now he doesn't have the Wyatt family. He's now part of the Hardy family. Yeah.
His Wyatt family are all champions now.
Yeah.
But I think...
Even their children.
I think it would mean something if you know, this meant something a lot more. I don't really... think it's going to mean that much, to be honest with you. I think Matt winning isn't going to add so much like to his stock. It's already high to begin with.
And Bray was so sucked up into the lake, he just became a Hardy.
Or if anything, maybe Matt's the one that's manipulating Bray.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe.
Usually it's the other way around. Maybe the whole world is in Matt's hands.
One thing I wish they did was to do like little entrances for everybody, like, at least like give them their music for like 2 seconds or 3 seconds and then do another one, because I really want to see Queen Rebecca play on the piano.
But there are so many. As much time as the show has, you only have so much time to do, okay, Gallows and Anderson, you're going to get your, like, a few seconds of your entrance. Hardy, you're going to get a few seconds of your entrance. Heath Slater, you're going to get a few seconds.
But at the same time, when we had the Women's Battle Royal, which we're going to talk about in a bit, we saw a lot of women that...
Which made no sense to me. It made no sense.
We'll get to it.
That was more for USA.
Yeah, more so for that.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight Championship, the finals of the Cruiserweight Tournament, Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. The heart versus the soul. Mm-hmm. and they destroyed each other's bodies. This, I thought, was a very fun match. Started a little on the slower side, but I thought they brought it. They really started to show what the Cruiserweight division is meant to do. We had more Spanish flies tonight than I can remember. And it was really enjoyable. You saw the respect between the two. Eventually, with the lumbar check by Cedric, getting the win, becoming the Cruiserweight champion for the first time. And as soon as he pinned Mustafa, there he like embraced him down on the mat. Drake Maverick comes in, big ol' hug, present the Cruiserweight championship. Just a real good feel-good moment for Cedric on where he's come from. A year and a half ago, this guy wasn't signed, and he got signed because the crowd chanted to please sign Cedric. And now he's on WrestleMania winning the Cruiserweight championship.
I mean, interesting journey as it is. Obviously, like I mentioned before, this whole Cruiserweight championship, or you know, whoever's the champion, kind of maybe a little on the curse side in some ways. If anything, previous to Cedric, who did anybody beat Enzo? Oh, Kalisto. Where's Kalisto, by the way? So I'm happy that Cedric access. Finally was it really. That's funny. He wasn't even in the Battle Royal. I think it was just Sin Cara, whatever. But yeah, again, extremely happy for Cedric. Obviously, he's a guy that. Probably never thought he'd make it to the WWE, enter this Opportunity Cruiserweight Classic, and pretty much, I was a big fan of him after the Ibushi fight, or match. So no, I'm happy to see him as champion now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this match was pretty decent. I try to watch, I'm going to be honest, I try to watch as much as I can because I was driving at the time.
Because I was kids at home, do not watch the WWE Network while driving. Anissa is not a positive role model in that regard.
No, well, I really wanted In-N-Out, so... I tried my best, but...
You hear that, Cedric and Mustafa? Anissa's priorities.
But overall, as much as I was able to see this, these guys did actually kill it. I enjoyed the match. It makes me now want to go watch 205 live.
They've really made some drastic turnarounds to that show, and it's becoming very, very enjoyable.
And not only that, but now who's going to be the next opponent for that championship?
It can be anybody. Yeah. It can be more Ali, or Gulak.
Somebody
it could be
somebody
Gulak. It could be Buddy Murphy.
Kendrick's cleared.
On his way back.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
TJP's there.
Yep.
And who knows who they might call up from NXT?
Yeah.
Yep. There could be a few of those too.
Gotta wait.
By the way, Mustafa Ali's like gear when he came out was awesome.
I agree.
I don't know what that thing was on his hand, but that was really, cool. Really cool. He had like a laser out of his hand of some kind.
I thought those were banned.
Well, he got permission, apparently. Oh. Before we move on to the female battle royal, I do have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Do you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life?
Yep. Always.
All right. Well, for those of you listening who do, we've got the podcast for you. Conversation with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you have always wanted. Just go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversation with Maria Menounos. It's absolutely free, and be sure to rate it and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was the WrestleMania AfterBuzz that brought you over there. Once again, Conversation with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Check it out. Tell them that WrestleMania AfterBuzz sent you over there. It's a real fun show. We saw her hanging out at WrestleMania. She was hanging behind the commentators with X-Pac and Mario Lopez.
And Baby Lula.
Having a blast. She did great on the red carpet during the Hall of Fame, as always.
She did. I hope next year she gets inducted in the Hall of Fame, because with everything that happened this past year, she deserves that Warrior Award, because she definitely is a warrior going through that.
Well, you know who else rocked the red carpet? Our AfterBuzz co-hosts. You guys go onto the AfterBuzz red carpet YouTube page. Ty Matthews, Gabby Loren, and Denise Salcedo destroyed it. They got red carpet interviews with tons of superstars at the Hall of Fame. You got to check out those interviews. Gabby with New Day is quite hilarious.
Yes, and they actually got interviewed for AfterBuzz alumni Kathy Kelly
and Sonya Deville, amongst many others. Ziggler, like I said, New Day, Strowman, Rusev, many others. There's a clip right now that you can see on the YouTube page.
Oh my God,
of Gabby interviewing Kathy.
I love Kathy's dress. I want it. I want to buy it.
Well,
it's probably expensive.
I don't know. You can just hit her up. Ask how much it was. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know her personally. You guys do. Ask her.
Yeah. I'm gonna text her. Hey, Kathy, how much was your dress? Anissa's interested. all right, let's jump into the female battle royal, the first ever, if we're not counting WrestleMania 25. But so, kind of like what we were just touching on a few minutes ago, the fact that a few of the girls had an entrance this time.
Mm-hmm.
So Becky had her own entrance. Then it was a slew of like 20 or so women that just came all together.
Right.
And then Bayley and Sasha got their own entrances.
Right.
Wasn't quite sure why they did that.
Why?
Because in that case, if you're going to do it for a couple, that you should do for everyone.
Exactly.
Should be all or nothing. So like either everyone come out like they did for the Andre one.
Right.
Or everyone get just a short intro themselves.
For this, I think, in a way, I don't think those women deserve their entrances, because it's like, okay, why do you deserve an entrance but someone else can't? You know, somebody on the roster, like Naomi, out of all people who won the Battle Royal, couldn't get an entrance.
They just did it because they were on USA. So I'm sure it was different when you saw it on the network. It was Becky entrance, commercial, implying that everybody gets her entrance. So when they come back from commercial,
right, that
you see
weird
Bayley
too,
and then Sasha.
They went straight to commercial and like nobody, no commentary.
Did you watch it on USA?
I watched it on the network. There wasn't a commercial.
Yeah.
There was not a commercial.
But you can tell
there.
That there was like a brief pause.
Yeah, there was a pause.
For the people that were watching on USA.
And then there was a short short break during Sasha's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But there was no full on commercial break on the network side. Yeah. But you could tell there was something going on.
Yeah.
But they do it all the time for Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff. So it was weird, yes, but I get it, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah. So the match goes on. It was interesting because in this match, unlike the Andre Memorial Battle, blah, 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 the Andre John Memorial Battle Royal, say that 10 times fast, we had quite a few NXT women in this match as opposed to the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
And this match pretty much started with people just getting thrown in the center and ganged up and tossed out by Sonya and Mandy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Dana Brooke was one. Who was the first one? Oh, Carmella. It was Carmella and Dana Brooke, who both got immediately tossed out. And then from there, the NXT girls just started obliterating everybody, which was led by Peyton Royce. Mm-hmm. Finally, a Peyton Royce sighting.
Yes.
But no Billie Kay.
No, I was upset.
I was surprised by
that. The iconic duo needs to be together because they're iconic duo.
Is one of them? Is she hurt at all? Or I saw Peyton Royce wrestling at Access. I don't remember seeing Billie Kay wrestling. I know she was there.
I don't know if she's hurt or not. I haven't read anything on that.
Someone in the chat, let us know.
Let us know who Nicholas is. but I couldn't think of maybe a couple of those NXT women were surprising. Like they had the Indian lady. I forget her name.
I don't remember her name off the top of my head. But
she's from India. She did the Mayan Classic.
Yeah, the first female from India.
And they had the Brazilian tech, Tainara Conti. Was that her name?
Yeah, she...
Conti, yeah.
She's on the Mayan Classic as well. She looks like Renee and Maddie mixed together.
Bianca, Peyton, Kyrie.
And Kyrie Sane, and then Dakota Kai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite, Dakota Kai.
She's awesome. I love Dakota.
Oh, I love it.
It kind of makes you think, though, like maybe Billie Kay was maybe scheduled for that. But who knows? I don't know. But I have so many high hopes for Bianca Belair. So I was good to see her in there. And I thought her 450 looked great, no matter what anyone else says.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm still on the fence with her. She's incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she definitely has the agility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost feeling like there's... I don't want to use the word careless because it's not careless.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely feel there are moments where you can visibly tell... like uncertainty going into something, and she'll improve on that.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about that. I was kind of surprised that they threw her on this stage this quickly.
Yeah.
That said, over this next year, I'm expecting big things from her down in NXT.
It's funny because I went to NXT Riverside and I saw George Cisneros. Shout out to you. And there was a match with her and Ruby Riott. I think it was Ruby Riott. Nobody knew who Bianca Belair was. Nobody knew who she was. By the end of that match, everybody was chanting for Bianca.
Mm.
And I thought, I was like, man, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously she impressed in a Mayan Classic. So I'm happy to see her here. I'm sure. don't get it. I don't think these mean call-ups.
Oh no,
let's not get it twisted.
Maybe one of them.
Maybe Peyton.
Yeah, that might be the only one that gets called up.
But yeah,
you can't break up the iconic duo.
Well, yeah, I mean, both of them. I think they maybe show up on SmackDown.
He just got so upset when he said that.
Because I like them too, and Nikki Cross. What the heck? Why doesn't Nikki Cross wasn't in his battle royal?
Maybe Sanity's coming up.
Nikki Cross. Well, you're talking about Peyton can't come up without Billy. Nikki can't come up without Sanity.
Yeah,
but this was an all women's battle royal.
No, I'm talking about calling up the main roster.
Oh, but Nikki Cross can go on her own. We know that.
No, she's up with Sanity.
No.
Yes.
I honestly think we are going to see Sanity in the next 2 days, along with Authors in Pain.
Authors of Pain will be up in the next couple days. Sanity will be up in the next couple days. Amber Moon will be up in the next couple days.
Do you think majority of some of the NXT men and women that we think are going to come up are just going to go straight to SmackDown, not on Raw?
No, they'll be divided up.
Yeah.
I can see Authors of Pain on Raw.
I think Authors of Pain, yeah.
Because they need more tag team.
Raw needs more team. Well, we got a new one tonight. The final, what we thought was the final two in this match came to Sasha and Bayley, where the crowd was getting pretty amped up for that. Where then Sasha reached her hand out to shake Bayley's hand. Mm-hmm. Bayley shook it and then grabbed her and tossed her out. Crowd thought the match was over, but everyone forgot that Naomi was not thrown over the top rope. She was out on the floor, but was not eliminated. She came back in, eventually eliminated Bayley. And back-to-back years for Naomi with a WrestleMania moment. I did not expect Naomi to win this match.
I wasn't really a big fan of that. I would have liked for a heel to have done that, but I don't know. I wasn't really a big fan of like Naomi just coming out of nowhere. Even if Bayley would have won, I would have been like a good back-to-back as well. I mean, good for her, you know? I wonder if that's going to mean more to somebody's career than the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal will do for a man's career.
But this is about moments. So this, at the end of the day, Naomi is going to be known as the first ever women's battle royal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's Cesaro doing, by the way? Did he reach that brass ring yet?
Hey, he was a semi tonight.
That's right.
But overall, so I'm Nicholas. So glad Naomi won. She deserves it. She's worked hard.
That's
she worked,
true. She deserves
she's
it.
Been in this company longer Everybody than Bayley, longer yeah. than Sasha. So
not longer than Natalya. That was right. my pick to win.
Right, but at the end
Natalya still has gotten nothing at me.
But at the end of the day, Naomi has worked hard. I've talked, I've interviewed her hard. Here and everything, and she's just overall an amazing athlete, well deserved.
Yeah, and what will be cool with it because. If this results in like a little push to get her back in the title picture, because you had the feud that never really ended between her and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they can kind of bring that back. Yeah. From there, we get to the official show. So if you're watching on USA, you better have signed up for the network. I don't know if you heard, but WrestleMania was free for new subscribers. They never told us this at all during the pre-show.
You know what I always think about, too, where I was like, when I was that kid watching like the scrambled pay-per-view or trying to listen to what's going on
the wrestling. Sure, the scrambled pay-per-view.
The wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, like, if only I begged my parents or mom, I begged my mom to pay like $50 for the pay-per-views.
It's
like,
dude,
you can't afford free for new subscribers. Like I wish there was that option back in the day.
Me too.
Oh no, I would go to my friend's house. There'd be a group of us go. We each gave $10.
Yeah.
And we would sit down there and pray that he didn't lose like his cable signal.
Yeah.
And we watched the pay per view.
I just begged my mom and I just watched in my room because I had no friends who liked wrestling. But now I do.
Just sounded very sad.
But yet she still watched a pay per view at In-N-Out.
Yes.
No, yeah. I.
Enjoying a double double.
I still watch it at my house in my room. So,
main show begins and we kick things off with the triple threat intercontinental title match: Miz versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. Seth Rollins, for someone who burning it down, apparently he was very cold because his eyes were blue, like a scary bright blue.
That's one of my favorite things about WrestleMania is all the unique outfits. It's like, oh, it's Mania time. I'm gonna, you know, come out with this, come out with that. You know, I'm gonna debut this look. I'm gonna debut that look. Like, man, like they all just like Miz with his. I don't know what he was. I think he was dressed as Becky Lynch.
Oh no, he got fashion advice from Velveteen Dream.
Okay. And by the way, Bayley, coming back to the Bayley, did she have the old school Rocky Maivia little outfit?
That's what I thought too.
It was a combination of like Maivia and another like. not a full-fledged Macho Man one. It was kind of like a hybrid
I thought Rocky Maivia just, you know, but maybe that's just me.
Well, yeah, so Seth with, like, the blue eyes, Miz with the Becky Lynch Velveteen Dream concoction, and then Finn Balor, everyone was expecting Demon King.
So was
but, I. But then he came
out... I wasn't expecting that.
But then he came out with the... I think they said it was, like, members of the, like, LGBT branch in New Orleans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of them celebrating with him, as mm-hmm. far as how... Because Finn Balor clips for everyone. That is so much more important mm-hmm. and so much bigger than any type of demon type entrance. So for those of you on Twitter that were complaining about his entrance, I say shut up, because this was far more meaningful than him coming out in some fancy makeup.
But even if it wasn't that, like, I saw no inclination that Demon King was going to come out at all. Like, I don't think it called for
I agree. Yeah. I think people were just thinking because it's WrestleMania, it's his first WrestleMania, no matter what, he's going to be Demon King.
I think
it wasn't needed.
I think it was needed. If it's for, like, the championship title or mm-hmm. champ, whatever you want to call it these days, then he'll come out as the Demon King. But it was just for the IC title, so it was like, not saying that title was less than...
No.
You know.
And this triple threat match, this was a great opener to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It was fast-paced. Miz kept up with Balor and Seth.
Gee, I thought Rollins kept up with Miz.
No, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Miz was on fire in this match.
That's why he's awesome.
Oh, I absolutely love Miz.
So do I.
Yeah, Miz is incredible.
Found somebody who actually likes the Miz.
I've always liked Miz.
We all like the Miz.
Yeah. And Rollins with, like, his insane frog splash, Balor just jumping off everything. It was just a really fun match. But honestly, to me personally, the one I thought was the least likely to win was the one who won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was expecting either Balor to finally, you know, get a title for the first time in forever, or Miz to win this match and break the record.
I had Miz winning.
Yeah. I really wanted the Miz to win. I say this all the time. I like the Miz. Miz is my favorite.
See, it's funny. I thought you said it was Ambrose.
Yeah,
Where's your Miz tattoo then?
I have John Moxley tattooed on me.
That's not Miz.
I have Miz.
She's got the Miz. It's just an upside down.
No, it's not.
Got it.
Anyways, okay. I like the Miz. I like everything about the Miz. He's great. He's amazing. I really wish he broke the record.
He will break it.
But this also helps him possibly become the first 10-time Intercontinental, because he's held it 8 times.
He's at 8 right now.
Next one will tie Jericho.
So he'll become a 10-time IC champion and then break the record.
See, I feel like nowadays, especially in the last year, I feel like if somebody's one mid-card championship away from being a Grand Slam champion, they're just going to do it. Jericho did it last year. Orton did it, you know, a month ago. Yeah.
But is Seth Rollins, is he the youngest Grand Slam winner?
Probably, yeah.
Because he did that in a very short time.
No, not Jericho.
Well, Jericho just did it last year.
No. Who's older, Ambrose or Rollins?
I think I want to say Ambrose. Chat roll.
No, let us know. It's Ambrose Rollins.
Ambrose is older than Rollins, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because I think they were both born in like 85 or 86.
Or they could be like the same.
Oh, yeah, because Ambrose is a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
But you said youngest. It might be Rollins. I'm not too sure. I'm good with the facts, not ages.
Okay.
Well, Seth Rollins becomes Intercontinental Champion. To me, this just screams out, depending on what the health is, a feud with Jason Jordan is coming.
See, I feel like if everybody was healthy, I think they were building toward who am I just talking about? Seth Rollins versus Kurt Angle. Because I feel like I saw like a glimpse of like after Jason Jordan got hurt. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was really Rollins Jordan, and then Jordan got hurt, and then Angle got a little upset one time. Like, oh, is that what they're doing?
Oh.
But then maybe a Rock wasn't available, or I think the original plan was Batista and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
So it's
Rollins is 31, Ambrose is 32. So Rollins is the youngest. Yeah. So he might be the youngest to do a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
But yeah, awesome opener.
But yeah, overall this was a fun match. I just liked how everyone kept up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that little close bit of SummerSlam with Rollins almost killing Balor again. But he stopped it. Overall, hey.
I dug it.
Yeah. I dig it.
Too. It was really, really fun. Really fun. From there, now this surprised me that this was match number two. Charlotte defending the Women's Championship against Asuka. Title versus streak. And this, I might be in the minority when I say this. This was my favorite match of the night. This, I thought, was the best match of WrestleMania, Charlotte and Asuka. If they gave it more, if they gave it more hype time, they could have made the argument of this main eventing the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tremendous back and forth matchup with them. You had Asuka, you know, like start pointing when she realized Charlotte kind of hurt her shoulders. Like, oh, I see it. Mm-hmm. I see it. I'm going to go after it now. And it was just like, you know, counter for counter. This was a great example of two very smart wrestlers studying their opponents and on like figuring out how to counter things and how to get into this or that. It was just an awesome match. The crowd loved it. And I could not believe the streak ended.
Yeah.
That was, I was shock.
I was unexpected.
Let alone her tapping out.
Yeah. With me, it's like, with WrestleMania, especially WrestleMania, it's so hard for me to pick the best match of the night just because it just happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you never know how good something is until the lasting effect it leaves on you. Like, for example, in 2 weeks, what am I going to remember the most? That's probably going to be the best match, you know? Mm-hmm. As of right now, yes, top three. Top three, most definitely. But, man, I know previous AfterBuzz shows on pay-per-views, whether it's with Raw or SmackDown, I'm always saying that Charlotte is not the number one woman in the business right now. I think it's always been Alexa Bliss. But, man, after this match, I might have to say Charlotte.
To me, Charlotte is the clear-cut top female in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, Alexa's right there, Asuka's right there, Sasha's right there, but Charlotte is the queen. And she also...
Everything about her entrance, too.
She had the best entrance of the night, too.
I got full emotional.
Circle. It was full circle. Back to WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. I got emotional during that entrance because I was like, oh my God, Ric Flair was probably crying in the back.
Does anyone in the chat roll know who the Knights were yet? Because I'm curious. Because,
so did I.
Because they're probably going to be main eventing.
Because they're
going to
be main eventing in the next 4 years.
Right.
So I want to know who they
when
are.
When they're back in New Orleans.
Yeah. Because WrestleMania 30, Triple H come out in the same type of entrance with Charlotte, Sasha, and Alexa being the people to like help him off the throne, take off his crown and everything. And all of a sudden tonight, we're back in New Orleans. There's Charlotte and Alexa, in like the same throne.
And Alexa coming in as champions at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Hey, we'll probably see it in the future on WWE 24 WrestleMania.
Maybe one of those was Nicholas. Sure. We just didn't realize it.
Just without a shirt on.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this match was... just I love
this.
It.
This was definitely a 5-star match, and I'm really glad that it was. At first, I was like, "Oh crap, why is it so early?" And then now I realize why it was so early, because they had so much time to. In my opinion, I felt like they had a lot of time to do what they wanted to do in that ring.
Yes.
Yeah, the match was long, but it was well worth it.
No, the timing was great.
Right.
Yeah. No. I didn't think it was
to some
long.
People, it might to some people it might be too long, but the timing, like you said, was right. Overall, these women killed it. It showed that women in this business can do anything.
But even like the tap out was surprising. Like, exactly. And it's one of those things. It's one of those where, like, I said this about Sasha Banks versus Charlotte in the Iron Man match, where she was up like 2-1 or whatever the score was, and it was like countdown 5-4-3-2-1, and she tapped out as champion like right before the clock expired. Like, dude, you couldn't hold off one more second, dude. Obviously, there's no countdown here, but man, it just shows like that figure eight is brutal. Like, and that's how much Asuka was like.
And
in pain.
And then we got a little blood.
Yeah, and now you're pretty much doing a bridge with one arm.
One arm.
That was insane too.
Yeah.
What was it I watched where somebody did something? Oh, when Brock did like a one leg F5 one time? That reminded me of that, when like Charlotte was like literally one arm. And like, man, this match was awesome. I think you tweeted like maybe best women's WrestleMania match of all time.
That is the best women's WrestleMania match of all time.
Because Trish and Mickey is a hard one to live up to.
Oh,
that was a great one too.
Yeah, so it's one of those where it's like,
but
give me like a week or two.
Was
that feud was awesome. But give me like, and there's one moment in that match that was awesome too, but they always cut it out on the network. But that's besides the point. But yeah, this match was all kinds of awesome.
I know.
I think a lot of people know.
The entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're talking
about.
Sure. And then Asuka embraced Charlotte at the end saying, "You were ready for Asuka." Yeah. And they hug.
That was kind of cheesy, though. Oh, you were. That's like something a bad guy would say after they, like, the end of the movie.
But
and then as Charlotte was leaving, we had an interruption.
Oh.
A fan jumped the barricade and ran up the ramp. And I don't know where security was.
Where was that lady? That lady security.
Yeah.
She's part of the most well-known security.
She took Gronk down last year.
She couldn't take this guy down?
Yeah.
I could hardly ever see him.
He was drunk. He was drinking.
That was a pretty cool moment, though. Imagine you being as a fan or something, and John Cena is like sitting right in front of you or next to you. It was like, mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. That's a cool thing that like they did that they've never done before.
Yeah, and like from the beginning, he was just out there.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more pictures of him like marking out, you know, just to show that he was a fan. Mm-hmm. But every time they showed him, he would just be sitting like, oh, okay. Cool.
So on the Mixed Match Challenge last week, I predicted that Cena was going to be in the audience, but.
Well, he said he was going to be in the audience.
Right, but I said throughout every single match. Yeah. But apparently my prediction didn't go for
it. No, he got impatient.
You were like 30% right.
I was 30% right, yeah.
And you even maybe 35 just because he went back to the audience. He went back to the crowd. He was like, well, screw this.
But I just love, like, so a ref ran out to him. And everyone's like, what's he? What is the ref telling him? And then he hops up and runs up the ramp and everything.
They said, like, he's here or something like that.
Yeah,
he said Undertaker's here.
You said something like he's here. But then the commentators are just like, what did that ref tell him? I was like, guys, we're not stupid here. We can figure out what he told them.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he sprinted out the building.
Yes, he sprinted up the ramp to go back to the locker room to change. And then maybe we'll see him a little later on. But before that, we have the Fatal 4-Way United States Championship match. Randy Orton defending against Bobby Roode, Rusev, and Jinder Mahal. Way to go, Aiden English, wearing the Rob Schoenberger painting on his tights.
Mm.
So, Schoenberger, I don't know how much of a bigger honor you can get than that. Your paintings are on someone's gear at WrestleMania now.
You made it.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome. Shout out to Rob Schoenberger. I thought this was a fun four-way.
Yeah.
We knew based on where they put this and how they had Charlotte and Asuka, this was kind of like a little bit of a calm down match, but they still were into it. We had RKOs aplenty, Rusev Day Chance galore.
Yes.
And in the end, I got very happy while 78,000 people were upset because Jinder Mahal is your new United States champion.
Nice.
The Coloss is the most vicious finishing move ever. No one can kick out of the Coloss.
Good. I'm really glad Jinder won it.
I am too.
I was listening to him on Lillian's podcast show a few days ago. Just the way his story progressed from when he came back to WWE, how he became a champion, and how he says, hey, it's not because of WWE's doing so much with India. It's because I work really hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I make sure I show them and I let them know I'm here to stay and I'm here to make an impact. Not because of my culture or anything. I want to be one of the best. And he said that he writes down his goals, and I believe one of his goals was a U.S. championship. And, dude, here you are.
And with the year that he's had and the comeback that he's had, he deserved the Mania moment. Yeah. And whether the crowd liked it or not, he earned that moment, and he earned that title. And now he can feud with Rusev. Yeah, so the crowd can be happy that Rusev is going to be involved in that, and they have a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's win-win-win.
Yeah. I'm happy that they found a role for Jinder Mahal, because at first it was like, when you were trying to predict the Mania card, you're like, dude, I can't find a role for Jinder, you know? Mm-hmm. And even when you did found a role for him, you're like, I don't know, that might be like a pre-show match, but Orton's in the match. I don't know if they're going to want Orton in the pre-show. But I'm happy that not only was he able to be on the show itself, but win the U.S. Championship on the main card, you know, with the spotlight on him.
Yeah.
So kudos to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And by the way, I also found it was kind of interesting with Aiden English. He was in the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, and then he came out for this. And he shaved his head in between the Battle Royal and the U.S. title match.
Really? No.
He had his hair
in the Battle Royal. I was like, wait a minute.
And then his head was shaved when he did the intro for Rusev. I'm like, all right, he wanted to switch things up a bit.
Do you think it's because he's actually losing his hair? He's like, screw it, just do it.
I would think so. But he also wanted to make his look a little different since he got the rare honor of appearing twice in WrestleMania. So,
I mean, I can't wait for SmackDown because these Raw and SmackDowns are always like the greatest crowds ever. So I'm really hoping that they really put over Rusev, you know, in a huge way on SmackDown.
Oh, he's going to be over huge on Raw too.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, everyone chants Rusev Day. Everyone loves a good old Rusev Day.
Well, today's Rusev Day.
It was Rusev Mania today.
Wow. Mm. On Rusev Day, how coincidental.
I know. The odds. It's crazy. From there, the debut of Rowdy Ronda Rousey, team with Kurt Angle, against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Holy.
First off, let's talk about Rousey's gear. Because that was, like, badass gear. She wore Piper's jacket. She had on
the kilt. Mini Kurt kilt.
Yeah, the mini, like, kind of like the sexy kilt in a way. But obviously all business with the Rowdy, like, halter. What kind of top would you call that?
Sports bra?
It wasn't really a sports bra. It was bigger than that, wasn't it?
It's usually what the UFC fighters compete in.
It looked like a sports bra.
But she had it with the Rowdy type font. And Angle looked good too. Angle with some new gear as well. Mm-hmm. Triple H and Stephanie.
They looked amazing too. Dueling
motorcycles.
I thought that entrance was just as good as last year, even better than last year.
Yes.
I thought the lighting was awesome. I thought them like posing next to, I mean, obviously, it's not the first time they've come out together, obviously, but, you know, they're husband and wife. But now that they're both competitors, now Stephanie can do a lot of the entrance too. I think that's a pretty cool moment. Obviously, not the first time husband and wife teamed, but I'm sure they must have been ecstatic to be a team at WrestleMania.
I wish that they would have came out to My Time.
A throwback.
Their theme song, their old theme song from the 90s.
From like 2000, right before Motorhead.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Just a little tease to do that and then do the Motorhead theme song. But overall, I like the S entrance.
Maybe they could have went through a drive-through wedding too. While
might as well. Yeah. Renew their vows.
Yes.
But overall, yeah, I did like this because one, I felt like, damn, I want to be part of Triple H's biker gang.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was so cool. Both of them doing, Stephanie did the best she can, but spitted water, and she did great, but damn, this match.
Well, I think it's crazy the fact that with all these years, this was actually Stephanie's first Mania competing.
Yeah.
Which, like, is hard to believe.
And it's
with
funny
all the Mania she's been a part of.
And it's funny because going into WrestleMania 2000, she was the women's champion.
Right.
Yeah.
like then you might go, I know she's been a former women's champion, but she's actually never competed.
Yeah, but she was wondering at WrestleMania, she was the women's champion. But hey, let's have the cat versus Cherry instead.
Right? She slapped her dad. She freaking did this.
Which, by the way, real quick, Asuka versus Charlotte, the first singles match for women since like 2007 at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Really?
That didn't involve like Pillow Fighter,
anything,
Snoop Dogg.
And if anything, because I think. First off, I'll say it now. I think whenever they have a singles match at Mania that's not for a belt, I think that's going to do more for the women's evolution than anything else, knowing that it doesn't have to be a multi-woman match. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a battle royal. It doesn't have to be for a title. And just be two women that just don't like each other, much to, you know, how two men can have a singles match without really much people thinking about it.
Interesting.
So once that happens, kudos to whoever those two women are.
Well, both of these women in this match, Stephanie, and more importantly, Ronda.
Oh my God.
This match was 1,000 times better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, so did I.
This is up there. A lot of people I've seen on Twitter saying this was their favorite match of the show.
This was one of my top
three. This is one of my top, yeah, top three.
This match
for sure
went a lot longer than I thought. Rousey did a hell of a lot more than I thought. Stephanie did a hell of a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
They went at it. Crowd was on their feet, not knowing which way it was going to go. Like, because on paper, you mean to think, oh, it's Rousey's debut. It's Triple H and Stephanie, blah, blah, blah. Rousey and Angle are going to win. Sure. No, there are plenty of times in this match where it was like, oh, no, Triple H and Stephanie are winning this match. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Ronda Rousey really, really proved and showed everyone that she belongs in this business.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, like, to be honest, I really thought that she... I'm going to be honest. I really thought she didn't belong, and I'm just like, great, it's just a publicity stunt. I personally do like Ronda. I've always liked her. It's not like, you know, nothing negative towards her. But overall, damn, even Stephanie McMahon. I didn't expect Stephanie McMahon to do what she did.
Yeah.
We all know Stephanie McMahon's not a great wrestler. But I believe when they decided to do this match, she probably trained really hard, not just working out, but probably like in a ring, literally now actually physically training. Because a lot of these moves that we saw with Stephanie, she's never done before.
Mm-hmm.
She usually throws them around and all the... Damn, this match was
I'm not going to
so
lie.
Good.
I think I'm in the minority. Ready for this. I think I'm in the minority where I had high expectations for this match. Because I heard through a little birdie.
You definitely were in the minority heading into the match.
I heard a little birdie say that Brian Kendrick, who obviously had a hand in training in
Ronda
Rousey.
Oh, he's been training her, yeah.
Say that Ronda Rousey is probably one of the most impressive women, not athletes in general, but just like she's going to be a big star. So for Brian Kendrick to say that, I'm like, all right, cool, well, I get you. So that's why I had a big expectation. But man, even this surpassed that. Like, I don't know what the move she was, but when she pretty much deadlifted Triple H from the floor, that was insane.
Deadlifted him when...
Like, he was on the ground, and she did that Cena thing where she kind of rose through and has a monster. Like, she did that to Triple H.
Well,
insane.
She has muscle.
And by the way, for people who still say that, you know, like... Triple H is taking people's spots at Mania or things like that.
I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say that.
You gotta hear this part. He has had more Mania losses than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he got pinned with his own move.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he got his ass kicked by Ronda Rousey.
And the year before that and before he's lost a lot of WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, so all he does is put people over and make them stars.
Because he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Hello, he's a father figure of NXT.
Yes. And...
Why are you angry?
I don't know. I'm just excited.
And Ronda was tossing him around. Again, Ronda was tossing Triple H around. Angle looked good in the match. And as the match got... I almost felt Angle was a little timid at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And as the match went on, I almost felt like he felt more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then we started to see the Angle of old that we all know and love.
Right. I think it's because he hasn't wrestled an actual match. Like, so this is specifically that type of time, how long the match went. It's been a long time since he's been in that type of a match. But they killed it. With the arm bar... Stephanie trying to block it with her hand multiple times. I thought that was such a good move to do. I'm curious who's Ronda's next opponent.
Alicia Fox. But that's besides the point. You didn't hear about that?
Well, she still wasn't medically clear for tonight.
You didn't hear about that? You have no idea.
No, I heard a little bit about an altercation.
Okay.
Because, Ryan Sadden, the only person that I trust in wrestling news is Pro Wrestling Sheila Ryan Sadden.
One of the things that impressed me the most about Ronda, more so than the moves, more so than her facials, was the timing of everything.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people who get into wrestling have a big problem with timing. And obviously, she's been working her ass off, obviously, with Kendrick and with other people. But, man, like, the way she just held on to certain things for a certain amount of time before she just let loose, like, her timing to me was just... That is one of the most important things in pro wrestling when you're a wrestler.
Yeah.
More than the moves, more so than, you know, the flippies, whatever. Mm-hmm. That was just so, like, Ronda. And as you said, I'm curious what's next
for her. When she gets, like, the promo part down, she's going to be the top,
mm-hmm. but
one of the top girls.
Now that I've seen this match, I don't think she needs a mic. She needs Paul Heyman. She doesn't need a... She doesn't need...
If they decided that route...
They should.
But she doesn't need somebody speaking for her. She doesn't need to talk either. She's Ronda Rousey.
Right. She doesn't need to talk much.
But she doesn't even need somebody to talk for her. Mm-hmm. She's Ronda Rousey.
And Brock Lesnar's Brock Lesnar, but he still has Paul Heyman.
Well, that's because they're besties.
Who is next for Rousey is the question.
Well, I know Asuka. next year is going to be Charlotte.
So you think immediately Rousey's going to start feuding with Asuka now?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe either Asuka or Charlotte.
I think what's next for
Charlotte's
Rousey...
Charlotte's on SmackDown.
What's next for Rousey?
Asuka, who knows where she's
at. But they're having a superstar show.
Yeah, but Rousey ain't suddenly switching to SmackDown if she just started.
What's next for Rousey, and it kind of continues what started a few weeks ago, is Absolution.
Oh.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Sonya Deville.
Or Mandy Rose.
Or both.
Mandy Rose, yeah. One thing about this match that I didn't really like is when Ronda was beating up Triple H in the corner, but
that was awesome.
But Triple H was being very dramatic about it
because he was having an MMA legend kick his ass.
I know, but he was like wiggling way too much.
You would be wiggling too if Rousey was throwing punches at you.
Yeah, a little too much, but overall, great.
I mean, that's not as bad as like somebody selling those Naomi kicks. You think you know what I'm talking? Like Carmella, she's always like you know,
I know
when Naomi
about.
Does those jumping kicks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. This match was, to me, definitely the biggest surprise.
This match was so all kinds of awesomeness.
Of the show. And then from this big surprise, we'll probably go to the other big surprise of the night, but maybe not for the right reasons. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match.
I thought you were going to say Dana White was in the audience.
Well, he was.
Yeah, that was shocking.
That didn't surprise me.
Sure shocked me.
He was there looking at his former client Rousey and his current client Lesnar.
Plus, I think the last thing he wants to think about is his UFC brand right now.
Yeah, it's been a bad few days.
Yeah.
Usos defending the tag titles against the New Day and the Bludgeon Brothers. First off, so happy that finally the Usos are on the main show.
All right.
And they get destroyed. Oh my god.
This is one of those matches where it's all pretty much storyline purposes.
Oh, sure.
Where it was like, it was booked properly. Like, you can't say it wasn't booked properly. It was exactly how it should have went. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it would have been nice to maybe have the Usos New Day kind of match that we've seen, you know, at Fastlane or the SummerSlam kickoff show.
But we knew we weren't going to get that in this match.
Yeah, because of the Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, it would have been nice of them steal the show, but it's like you walking or watching the match, it was like, oh, well, that went exactly how I thought it'd be.
I was just still really surprised. I wasn't expecting to be like the New Day Usos classics because.
Although Harper can go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was going to be definitely harder hitting because of the Bludgeon Brothers. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there was really no tag team match in a way. It was just an onslaught for about 4 minutes. And the Bludgeon Brothers, eventually they did their double team, full Nelson and powerbomb off the second rope on Kofi, pin him. And this is the happiest day of Scott Narver's life because the Bludgeon Brothers are tag team champions. He has been crying tears of joy ever since the bell rang for this match. I tried to get him on the line, but you just couldn't understand what he's saying because he's busy crying. And he went to bludgeon some crawfish in celebration. But you build off of this to have Bludgeon Brothers feud with Usos since they weren't the ones that were pinned. They can still go after their titles. But this really did surprise me that there was, I don't want to say I'm surprised as far as the lack of offense, because the Bludgeon Brothers are supposed to destroy. That's their job. I was just very surprised that this really wasn't a tag team match. It was just a brawl that's right up the Bludgeon Brothers' alley.
Which I liked. Mm-hmm. I liked that those type of matches per se where they're not all in tag teams, because it is a triple threat tag team match. Everyone's going everywhere. One thing I have to give credit to WWE is those graphics that they do with the entrances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those were really fun to look at and new, as well as they brought little people.
See,
those weren't the graphics.
No.
That's really realistic.
I like that the graphics were a part of the entrance as opposed to like something that flashes through the screen when the Usos are doing some promo and some. Oh, what does he say? Lockdown! And then
the Seldor.
But yeah, I like that it was incorporated into the entrance as opposed to anything else. So I thought that was pretty cool. Anybody think it's weird? At least this is the first time I can think of that it's happened. People can correct me. Where it was a triple threat match and the champ comes out second.
And did it in the Intercontinental title match
for
too.
Both of them.
Yeah,
that was weird.
I did not understand that.
Like, I get it first, because I think Alexa came out first.
Or last.
Yeah. But like, second?
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
That was weird.
Charlotte came out first, too.
Yeah, a lot of the champs came out first.
Like, it's one thing. Sometimes the champs come out first, sometimes they come out last. I get it. But in triple threat matches, that's where the person came out in the middle.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. But they did.
Yeah. I just thought it was weird.
Yeah. That's fine. From there, John Cena makes his entrance. We're thinking we're finally going to have the match, because he was told by the referee that's currently in the ring that Undertaker is here. He goes in the ring. He's ready. Another referee runs down and then says Undertaker is not here. If I were Cena, I would have started attacking that first referee. Because, like, I could have been, like, I missed out on Ronda Rousey's match because I was busy getting ready because of you. So Cena starts walking up the ramp, but all of a sudden the lights go out. We're just like, oh, wait, here he comes. And by he, I mean Elias. Oh, this was such a heel move. It was so good that Elias comes out just trolling everyone. Just casually walks in the ring singing. And then Cena just gets pissed and kicks his ass. And then
he definitely didn't want to walk with Elias.
No. 78,000 people did.
That was awesome.
And then Cena's music hits. Cena visibly seems just really upset.
Yeah, good job, Cena, for those emotions.
And he starts going back up the ramp.
Expressions.
Lights go out again. Then a light goes back on in the ring where the coat and the hat that Undertaker left last year, someone finally found it. It was in the ring the entire time. I don't know how any... It was right under our noses.
It was actually an access. Someone
must have brought it from access.
Someone took it.
And a lightning bolt hits it. Let's go out again. Gong hits. Cena runs back into the ring. In shock, the Undertaker makes his return. And then the Undertaker has his most dominant squash match in 15 years. He beats Cena in under 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
One tombstone pinned Cena. He did the old school.
Snake eyes.
He did the snake eyes. He did the choke slam. He did all the goodies. Cena at 1.1 for five knuckle shuffle. Taker sat up, scared the bejesus out of Cena. For a month, Cena has had some of his greatest promos begging Undertaker to do something to show up at WrestleMania. And he shows up. And Cena loses in 3 minutes. How? Someone explain this to me.
Okay, one, because Undertaker is old.
Is old, so that's why you beat him in 3 minutes?
Well, I mean, come on. Like, we all know Undertaker's aging a little. He probably was like, hey, I'll do it, but not for 15 minutes.
I think that's... Well, I don't think there's any political reasons on why you beat him in 3 minutes.
I wasn't expecting him to go 20 minutes like he did last year with Roman.
Right.
It could have been a 10-minute match.
Maybe, but Undertaker is Undertaker. He gets to choose what he wants to do. But two, didn't Undertaker cut his hair?
No. That was like 5 years ago.
No, but like I thought on his wife's Instagram, his hair was short.
I don't know. I don't follow his wife's Instagram.
Yeah. I do. Someone let me know unless I'm tripping.
Was anybody upset that it wasn't American Badass?
Yes!
This was where I expected Kid Rock to come out.
Yes, exactly.
This is what I thought the performance was.
This was ridiculous. I wanted American Badass so bad, and we didn't get it. Dude, come on.
Dude.
Like, you left your old school ring gear last year, come out as American Badass. It makes sense to me.
I thought it would have made sense for him to come back as American Badass if it wasn't for him showing up as the Dead Man on Raw 25.
Yes.
And I was like, all right, well, okay, I guess he's still the Dead Man. Like, so that's the only reason why I thought he wasn't going to come out as American Badass. But honestly, I have absolutely zero complaints when it came to this match.
No, I
none whatsoever.
Same here.
It's like
it was
like,
short and sweet.
From storyline purposes, dude, you called him out and he beat your ass in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't call him out next time.
So then what next for Cena?
Anything. Cena's untouchable.
They're both
not in that match.
But who would he feud with next?
Anyone. He's a free agent. Well, first off, he just had a movie that came out.
Yeah.
Rooster Blockers.
Blockers.
Yes, Rooster Blockers.
Oh, no, there's a rooster in the front of the blockers. I don't know why they do
that. No, I was really upset because my prediction was Cena just chilling in the audience in his regular ringer, whatever he feels like. Kid Rock was obviously didn't perform, but if he was going to perform, do American Badass, we see Undertaker come out of the ramp with on his motorcycle with the American flag, with his bandana, with his Dead Man Ink t-shirt, going down and says, let's go.
Even though so many people hated that.
And I think
I don't care if people hated it. It's literally,
a lot of people hated it.
I think the fact...
Doesn't matter.
I think that maybe the dead...
It's part of him.
No pun intended. The dead giveaway that it wasn't going to be American Badass was Triple H already came out on a motorcycle.
Who cares?
No, no, I'm saying like I think
you want to have two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think for people still to expect American Badass at that point, I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen. I think it's going to be Dead Man Undertaker. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. I thought it was what was needed, and you know, it gave both people a match. That way, they don't just have.
I just wanted to relive my 10-year-old self, how I felt at 10 years old.
That's what WWE Network's for. And if you were a new subscriber, you get it for free.
Well, I've been a subscriber for like 3 years, so.
Well, so, like, create a new email or something. I don't know. From there, we have the 2018 Hall of Fame class. They kind of make their appearances from their induction on Friday. Although, conspicuous by his absence was Kid Rock. Do we know where he went? I mean, people weren't necessarily bummed that he wasn't there.
I literally forgot.
But I did find it kind of odd. I'm like, they're missing one.
Yeah, I forgot. To be honest, I forgot that he was inducted. Sorry, but now but later on within the show, I'm like, oh, Kid Rock didn't show.
And I was terrified that Goldberg's tux was going to catch on fire because he doesn't normally stand in the pyro in clothing. So I was a little worried about that, but thankfully they gave him a fireproof tux. And yeah, nice little moment. Crowd went nuts for Jarius.
Who do you think is going to be headlining 2019?
If I were to venture a guess right now, if you're putting me on the spot this second, 29, it's in New York. Rock.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. You put me on the spot. I did a random guess there for who would be a headliner. Yeah,
definitely be a headliner. Maybe Undertaker.
It could be Undertaker.
Could be Undertaker.
We'll find out in about 9 months.
It's in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
You said New York. It's in New Jersey.
Steven in the booth is actually correct because the Giants or MetLife Stadium is in New Jersey.
So, why was that promo about New York?
Because
it's like next door.
It's New York, New Jersey border. It's where the Giants play.
Interesting.
But they play in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Even though they bill it as New York.
And I think all the events, the non WrestleMania events, is going to be in Brooklyn, isn't it?
At Barclays. They'll be at Barclays for all those things.
I know it's in New Jersey because Sonya Deville is from New Jersey.
That's true. The Jersey Devil. Jersey Devil. We'll see what type of match she's going to have there next year.
Maybe against Liv Morgan, because she's from Jersey as well.
Wasn't there another one? Oh, or no, Carmella's from Staten Island.
And no,
she's actually from Boston.
Yeah.
Well, she's billed from Staten Island.
Unless they bring back Enzo.
Undertaker's not really from Death Valley, Anissa. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I know.
And Ultimate Warrior's not really from parts unknown.
No, I know.
Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Daniel Bryan was crying the second he came out. And then we all started crying with him. This is such a crazy
that moment. Promo though before the video package before though he came out
as a Terminator and Vanguard, or just whatever and Vanguard one found him.
But overall, just to show how powerful Daniel Bryan is. To show that this guy is not just amazing as he was in the independents, but he is amazing in WWE as well. And overall, we've been waiting. This is something that we've always wanted. And I felt like Connor, the Crusher's spirit was there as well. So
yeah, it was an emotional time.
I think we all have something in common, and is that we followed his career for a good part pre WWE.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of knew that he was going to be, you know, he was killing on the independents, and we always thought like he's too small for the WWE, let alone be like such a huge superstar. Like, he really is, like, that big of a superstar.
He's that big of a deal.
So happy for him just in general, like, to get cleared and just to have that first moment back. Like, stepping in through that curtain, getting emotional, and just like, man, like, this was the match I was looking forward to the most because of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Connolly, my co-host on SmackDown, he said several months ago he was only going to go to this year's WrestleMania. He was going to make the flight if Daniel Bryan was going to wrestle. And 2 weeks ago, he booked his plane ticket.
Yeah, and he flew in today.
Yeah, he literally just flew in today. He's flying back tomorrow.
Wow.
He went there solely for Mania, solely to see Daniel Bryan, because that's how big of a deal he is to so many people. Mm-hmm. Even Tom Connolly, who claims his favorite wrestler is John Cena, but I don't know if he did that flight for John Cena. Just saying. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come from the crowd while Shane and Bryan are looking up the ramp, and they just take Bryan out at the beginning, where now EMTs are attending Daniel Bryan. And then Shane McMahon, who I have more in common with these last several weeks than than other people because he's recovering from hernia surgery like I.
Crazy man.
Only difference is he's much tougher than me because just a few weeks in, he is now wrestling at WrestleMania. And I'm still working on bending down to tie my shoes. But Shane did a great job selling a story of his injury in the app because Owens and Zayn, they spent their entire time focusing on Shane's midsection. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Dan O'Brien got back up on the apron. Then came the hot tag, which nobody does a hot tag better than Daniel Bryan. And then he just went off.
Mm-hmm. Great moment. One moment here's a few things about this match. One, the fact that Sami Zayn threw him over near his family. And Sami and his, I'm assuming his eldest son, were yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Two, I know I was confused. Here's the thing. They were fired and and Kevin Owens changed his Twitter to Kevin Steen. Mm-hmm. Fight Steen, fight. Mm-hmm. And obviously Sami Zayn went to
El Generico Pro-Wrestling store opened up again.
Right. I would have thought that they would give it the okay to come. He could come as Kevin Steen.
No.
If that would have made, you know? No?
No, it would confuse people.
Really?
It would confuse mainstream fans.
Okay. But that would have been cool.
I'm a little shocked at the ending. Like, where are you going to go with Zayn and Owens now? Are they going to go on Raw, or are they going to continue?
That was a surprise because Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, if they lost this match, they would lose their lose their job for good in SmackDown. And Dan O'Brien made Sami Zayn tap out. To me, I feel like both of them would take time off, mm-hmm. whichever show they come back on. Who knows? But I want it to be built up as Kevin Owens blames Sammy for him losing his job, mm-hmm. since Sammy was the one who tapped out. To eventually mm-hmm. build to next year, they finally have the one-on-one Mania match that I've been dreaming about since they stepped foot in WWE.
Mm. That would be really cool. Or with the Superstar Shakeup, they can be like, we're going to just hire these guys.
Yeah, and they could.
You know, I think they're going to do something clever. If anything, maybe Daniel Bryan just will say, like, you know, you guys are rehired because, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of curious what they're going to do from there, but I'm kind of curious what's going to happen with Daniel Bryan now. Now he's officially back. He's it's probably going to be hard to be a GM and active wrestler.
I don't see him wrestling on a weekly basis.
But I don't see him being a GM either.
I've read that Jeff Jarrett might be a SmackDown manager.
I don't know where you've read that, but obviously it's not from a legit source yet. Because Brian Sadden, or if it's not wrote on WWE.com, then it's just good old dirt sheets. I mean, Jarrett could work. Because obviously, Angle's probably going to lose his GM spot based on storylines. Mm-hmm. So Jarrett could possibly go there.
Right.
I don't know if...
But now
if he'd be good in that role, though, personally.
But now the fact that Daniel Bryan is wrestling, we have so many opportunities to watch who he's able to wrestle. Obviously, the main one is probably him versus The Miz, because that's just a guarantee match right there throughout their history.
That they can just build up until to next year's Mania as well.
Yeah, AJ Styles, Nakamura, so many people.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited Daniel Bryan's back.
Yeah, it's just great. It's just great for the business. Okay. It's great for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just opens up so many other fun possibilities for feuds.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot wait to see what happens with it. Raw Women's Championship, Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. Alexa took Bobby Roode's elevator thing, and she got lowered down. She had a nice little entrance. And then Mickie James joined at ringside, and Nia came out. She's like, oh, no. See, she's not going to be here. And Nia Jax proceeded to murder Mickie James.
Yeah.
Just completely keeping her out of the picture.
She literally grabbed her and threw her from side to side on the barricade.
Huh. Yeah. It was crazy. It was insane. It was ruthless. It was great.
Ruthless aggression right there.
That was ruthless aggression. This match, some people were surprised at how long it went. But that said, it's like, well, hey, Alexa's been the champion for this long for a reason. She finds strategy. She finds ways to get around things. So, and she was doing just that with this match with Nia. And, you know, they're the best friends, so she knows her ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Nia showed some incredible feats of strength during this match. And eventually, hits the Samoa drop from the second rope, pins Alexa. Nia wins her very first title. Never won one on Raw, never won one in NXT. It's finally her first taste of gold. And this really, for all the years of the anti-bullying be a star stuff, this is really kind of the first one on the female side to really go through with that since they've started that campaign. It's really been Daniel Bryan on the men's side and Nia on the female side. And now it's finally reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, I like the way Coach mentioned on commentary, this is all for the girls that been bullied, been picked on because of what they look like. One thing I didn't like was Corey Graves interrupted him because I felt Coach was saying something very meaningful that I was okay with. But I really liked Nia's outfit. Very showed. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful on her and how emotional she was for this. Her going to the, after she won it, went straight to The Rock's mother and his daughter, gave him hugs and stuff. Nia is somebody who well deserves this. I've personally seen her since NXT, since Breaking Ground when they did the show, all the way to here. You can see how hard she works every day. Yeah. This is somebody who deserves it, and I hope she keeps the title for a very long time. I hope they don't give it to somebody else next month.
We'll have to see. Carmella still has that briefcase, and if they do the shakeup, she could very well bring that case to Raw.
I'm surprised they didn't let Carmella cash in at all.
She's not got time.
Well, she's got 3 months. It's up to her. It's her choice. What are you talking about? They let her.
Just saying.
I thought the match was okay. I mean, I compared to the other women's match, this was second place. Yeah. I mean, obviously you have to have one and two. I thought the story was great. I thought the work rate was pretty good, and I thought they both worked well together. My only thing is I feel like if the roles were reversed, I feel like that would be a much more emotional match because Alexa's so small. And it's kind of hard to kind of picture somebody so small having the upper hand on someone, much bigger than her. Obviously, she did a lot of cheating tactics, which made sense of her taking advantage. But I'm kind of curious if at some point they're going to let Alexa be a babyface, because as great as she's loved as a heel, I think she's going to be the babyface that Bayley hasn't really been so far.
It's possible. I mean, we'll see. And obviously, we got the thing with Bayley and Sasha. So they're kind of be away from the title picture for a little bit, which is honestly really good for Nia.
Mm-hmm. But the thing with Bayley and Sasha, they're the modern-day Trish and Lita. The love and hate relationship, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But yeah, we'll see what goes. And by the way, in our shower right now is our good friend Gabby Loren. Yay! I don't know why she's not out drinking on Bourbon Street right now.
I would.
I mean, because she just hung out at WrestleMania. but hey, Gabby, thanks for hanging out with us in the chat. And like I said a little earlier, make sure you check out those red carpet interviews from the Hall of Fame. Gabby crushed it. Denise crushed it. Ty crushed it. Lots of great interviews that AfterBuzz TV got exclusives on there for sure. SmackDown WWE Championship match. The dream match finally comes to reality. AJ Styles defending against Nakamura.
Second time.
In WWE for the first time.
There we go.
AJ versus Nakamura. The rock and roll entrance for Nakamura was super. Multiple drum sets. Alice Cooper's guitarist. Then the violins. Really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really well done. I loved the rock sound of his theme. I thought it was really cool. Very different on the electric guitar than on the violin.
It's funny because, three months ago, I had never heard of who Nita Strauss is. Never once have even heard of her. But I was working on a show for PCW, and she played out, she played out Pentagon. And RVD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that was pretty cool, you know? Then, days later, I'm like, I hear her name everywhere. I hear her name absolutely everywhere.
Yeah. Oh.
I hear her name everywhere, whether it was on Lillian's podcast, whether it's just, on the magazines. Now she's, at WrestleMania playing out Shinsuke Nakamura, and I'm like, dude, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty, pretty cool.
It's very, very cool. And yeah, she had a moment. Nakamura had the nice new gear with it.
That guitar was insane.
And he's ready for fight. And with his entrance, It also made me really surprised that AJ didn't really have much of a mania entrance.
I wish he had that Japanese mask that he wore back in the day. Yeah, I thought that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it was like, you know, he had the pyro for his entrance and he had new gear on. But that was really it. Yeah. Nothing special or elaborate for AJ's entrance.
I noticed that with a lot of the every single match, one person got a special entrance, the other person just came out, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this match itself, it started slow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. Because you know these guys are just going to build it and build it and build it and build it. And...
Oh, is that the wrong version, guys?
Yeah.
You're fine.
My God. You know what's funny? Fine. It says April 9th, but it says 2016. What kind of coincidence is that? I'm sorry. Wow.
No, it's all good. It was still the right version. I doubt it's... I would be surprised if it's on YouTube.
Okay,
already.
That's my bad, guys.
No worries.
Hey, we love you for trying, Steven.
Thanks, Steven.
You're awesome, Steven. You rock. I thought this match was great. I thought it was textbook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Another surprise finish to me.
Really?
I really thought Nakamura was going to win this match and like, oh, they're finally going to let someone from Japan be champion. Styles Clash, AJ countered the Kinshasa into the Styles Clash, which was incredible. And both Royal Rumble winners lose their title matches.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why they didn't have anyone from either person from Japan win the championship because both of them already won at the Royal Rumble.
They won the Royal Rumble.
Right.
They
that's didn't what win I'm the saying. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But
I'm just surprised
I'm with two Royal Rumble winners and both of them lose. That's surprising.
I had actually AJ winning, but I would have had Asuka winning. Mm-hmm. And I know this is going to be the inner mark in all of us. Were you a little upset when you found out this wasn't the last match?
No.
No, I wasn't.
I wasn't upset at all because to me, I felt like as great as the match was, you know that these two can do a little more to build it up because they will have more because after the match, they embrace.
Mm-hmm.
Nakamura grabs the title to hand to AJ. And then Nakamura proceeds to low blow him and beat the crap out of him. Kinshasa outside the ring. Nakamura is a heel now.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
I think that's going to be pretty, pretty cool.
I think this is what we needed. These guys are so iconic. They're great in the independents. We've seen them wrestle at the Tokyo Dome before. Now we're seeing them in the WWE ring. They absolutely killed it. I felt this match was better than the match in Tokyo. But I did enjoy the fact that Nakamura turned heel. Why? Because it felt like watching a face and a face wrestling. We need a face and a heel.
This was the most shocking moment of WrestleMania.
It was. Yeah,
I was not expecting it at all.
So now what's going to happen? They're going to go at Backlash?
And when I saw the heel turn, I was like, that's why I didn't go last. And I mean, I wasn't upset with them not going last. I get the business side of why Roman's last, and I completely get it. But I was like, it would have been nice, you know, like the same way Kurt and Brock main evented or things like that. But it would have been nice. But like I said, after it was done, I was like, okay, there's a bigger story to this, George. You know, it's not just, it's about pacing of the show.
Well, so. Nakamura started like running around yelling in Japanese, which he hasn't really done. Mm-hmm. And then just like the cold calculated assault on AJ. Can't wait for this week's SmackDown to see what's going on with that. But this is just so unexpected because he's one of their top merch sellers. He's one of the most likable guys as far as with the crowd responses. But now that Dan O'Brien's back, they thought, okay, maybe we need to kind of switch things up and throw someone on the evil side. And that's what they did here. But I wasn't expecting it. I'm very intrigued by it.
Yeah. Once I thought about it, I'm like, dude, I think this is going to work. I mean, I don't know if they're going to maybe switch up his theme now because obviously maybe they don't want a sing-along thing for a top heel. But yeah, I mean, I think it creates some intriguing matchups. I think his style being so like hard-hitting, it maybe fits more for a heel because then he can more beat the crap out of somebody and that be more, you know, justifiable for a heel, not a babyface. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, especially with all the matchups. You know?
I think that the guitarist theme that would be his heel theme song. Just do it as a guitar instead of the violin.
Possibly. I mean, it's definitely harder with it. So right. They do, like, maybe just tweak it a little bit just to make it more hard and harder to sing along to, like you were saying. But yeah, a lot of crazy questions with the outcome of this match.
And if anything, too, another thing that I wanted to mention when I saw people complain about Nakamura not winning, I thought this was more a lot of AJ's coming out as well. I thought this was more like, cool, you're not in the first match, you're not in the second match, we're going to put you, you know, toward the end, now show us what you can do. And I think he did that 100%.
But we know what AJ Styles can do.
But there are a lot of people, too, that only watch it at WrestleMania. They don't watch the SmackDowns that we watch. They don't watch
the house shows.
They don't watch all that. They didn't see him in New Japan. They know that there's a big audience just watching tonight. And you know what? AJ, here's your chance. And I think he more so delivered.
I agree.
I think it was more so the AJ coming out party. Right. And obviously enter Nakamura heel as well.
You know who else delivered tonight? Nicholas.
Ah, Nicholas.
Raw Tag Team Championship match. Sheamus and Cesaro. They come out on a Mardi Gras type float, throwing beads to the crowd, which confused me because, like, why are they throwing beads? Because they're villains and they're giving people stuff. They come out, Braun comes out, scares all, like, the characters that were on the float. That was hilarious. He pushes the float off the stage, and then he comes to the ring. We're wondering who his mystery partner is. I was thinking Goldberg.
Really?
That was my guess.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because he was there, and it'd be completely unexpected, and Braun's kind of like this generation's Goldberg.
Okay.
A lot of Scott Narver, my co-host, was really hoping to beat James Ellsworth, which would also be hilarious. I saw a lot of people thinking it would have been Neville returning.
Oh.
All their thoughts were Samoa Joe or Big Cass coming back from
Mine
injury.
Mine was Samoa Joe.
But Braun gets on the mic and says, no, it's nobody in the locker room. It's going to be someone in the crowd. So then we're thinking,
When
NXT guy changed his haircut to like and is sitting in the crowd that he's going to pick?
When you saw No Way Jose, you're like, it's going to be him.
Like, it's No Way Jose. Yeah. But then he walks by multiple NXT people. He walks by Kyle O'Reilly. There, I see Bobby Fish. I see a couple others. He walks by all of them. And he points. He's like, you're going to be my partner. And it's a kid who cannot be more than 10 named Nicholas. Now, we still have no idea if Nicholas is an actor. We don't know if this was a Make-A-Wish type thing. We don't know if he literally randomly picked somebody, which would be insane if that was the case. But he brings this kid into the ring, has him stand on the apron. He's like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to stand there. I'm going to take care of the rest. The bell sounds. This is Braun's partner. Match starts. Braun is beating up Sheamus and Cesaro. They get the upper hand on them. And then there's a point where Braun takes both of them down and starts reaching to tag little Nicholas. And then Nicholas very nervously reaches his hand out. Crowd, this is the loudest the crowd has been other than Daniel Bryan. All night. They are cheering for this 10-year-old kid. Braun tags him. He steps in the ring and just stares at Cesaro. No one knows what the hell is happening. And then Braun gets back on his feet, tells Nicholas to tag him back in. He tags him in. And then Braun goes, eventually hits the power slam on Cesaro, pins him, and Braun and 10-year-old Nicholas are the WWE Monday Night Raw Tag Team Champions.
My goodness.
The chat roll is saying, I haven't seen, because I haven't looked up or anything because I've been doing the show. Chat roll apparently is saying that Nicholas was referee John Cones' son.
Oh.
Whether or not that's true or not, I have not seen, but several people in the chat roll are saying that.
Mm.
That said, I want to know the details of Nicholas's contract. I want to know when he's going to be on Ride Along. I want to make sure that he passes the wellness policy.
I'm sure he'll pass it.
And I really hope he's, you know, starts carrying his load for the team.
Yeah, okay, so as you were speaking, I was like laughing in my head because I just thought of something kind of funny, but kind of probably harm. But it would have been funny if Cesaro picked up Nicholas, did his UFO. You guys know what I'm talking about. His UFO. and then put him down and have Nicholas spin around and then like fall or something funny instead of just being scared.
They were not going to have a 10-year-old kid do anything physical.
It would have been hilarious. I mean, they brought the kid in. Might as well do something.
Well, now the question is, is this kid showing up to Raw tomorrow, or is Braun just going to be picking someone different from the crowd every show to be his partner?
Oh my gosh, somebody on chat, please go to WWE.com and see if his picture is on the...
If they made like they a bio page yet?
They made a file page for him, because that'd be hilarious.
I'm
okay, so now...
This is so bizarre.
So now is Braun a face?
Oh yeah, he's been a face.
Well, yeah, but like more now, okay, he's now officially a face. Because he's always been destroying things. These are his hands, blah, blah, blah.
And the crowd's been cheering him, and he's been beating up heels for months now.
Right, but I don't know. I just felt like Braun was always a heel.
No, he turned face months ago.
I know, but to me, he still felt like a heel.
Well, now he just helped a little kid into the ring, have a WrestleMania moment, and was stacking judges. So you can't get more babyface than that.
I know, but is this now more of a promotional thing for WWE?
I don't know, but kids George is waiting for his turn.
What is on your mind? What is on your mind?
I want George to speak on this.
No comment.
You're not going to comment at all on this.
Really? It's I get it. It's
to you because I don't.
It's sports entertainment. It's a show. You're not. We're not here. You know, or they're not there to cater to the marks. You know, so as the purist in me doesn't even like teams that aren't teams in general win the championships, let alone. One guy, let alone one guy and Nicholas. Maybe if it was like John or like Anthony, that's okay. But Nicholas, really?
Wait, now you have a problem with his name? What's wrong with
name? I cringed.
There are plenty of Johns on the roster. There's no Nicholas.
Although I cringed for a little bit when he said, "What's your name, young man?" I thought that was a girl. Oh, that is a man. Cool. Thank God. That wasn't weird in front of 75,000 people. We all thought that was a girl at first. Let's be real.
Well, no, let's be real on this. Nicholas.
Don't assume gender, George.
1-0 at WrestleMania. Sting, 0-1.
Asuka,
0-1.
Finn Balor,
0-1. Goldust, 0-10.
So, now do you think... I have a feeling, so...
And Nathan Batting in chat. Damn right I'm jealous. I'm extremely... I want to be a tag team champion.
Yeah.
I would have loved Braun to pick me.
Although, in the annals of history, would you rather... Are you more satisfied with Nicholas or Judy Bagwell being a tag team champion?
That's a tough one.
All right.
I forgot
I'm
going to
go with
that.
Nicholas.
Nicholas is
now
he's
gonna have his own shirt, just like James Ellsworth has.
I think Judy Bagwell was given a championship, and Nicholas actually won it in an actual match at WrestleMania.
They didn't do anything; just stand there.
Hey, he won.
Yeah, and we'll be looking forward to tomorrow when Nicholas joins the Authority and turns on Braun Strowman
in his little tuxedo.
Yes. Finally, main event of the evening: the Universal Championship. Crowd was not happy this was closing the show. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Beach balls galore. Camera work did a great job not showing it, but there were beach balls all over the place.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The crowd wasn't paying attention. Crowd wasn't paying attention at all. They were busy cheering and booing all the beach balls.
You know how
and Twitter
many...
was going nuts of people talking about from the stadium, oh, there's another beach ball, there's another beach ball, there's another beach
so
ball.
So people snuck beach balls in.
Yes. Several. And... all of a sudden, the F5 looked like a hip toss. Because for some reason, a lot of people were getting pinned off one F5. I think Braun a few months ago got pinned off one F5. Reigns took six, seven?
Pretty much, yeah.
Including one through a table?
Yeah.
And a lot of suplexes.
Got his forehead ripped open. A lot of blood.
Yeah.
But this was...
still a kind.
This was one of those matches, like, it had, like, okay, here's the high-intensity, high-energy moment, suplex, oh, getting crowned up, mm-hmm. and then just stopped. Mm-hmm. And then it went, and then it stopped. And then it went again, oh, match is over, and Brock won.
I don't know if I like this match or not, and this is going to sound weird.
This is my least favorite on the show, was the main event.
I think it was the most interesting, and let me tell you why. Because, let's be real, we all thought Roman was going to win.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
We all thought. We heard everything, everything. Brock's going to the UFC. Mm-hmm. You know, Roman, this has been announced for like a year. Roman's going to be this. Roman's the guy. Like, we all thought Roman's going to win. So while watching this match, we're like, all right, we get it. Roman's going to kick out of like 17 F5s. We get it already. You know, mm-hmm. we know. Okay, okay. Wait, he lost? Wait, that kind of changes my
everything
about the actual match, because I'm like, oh my god, like my mind was literally just blown when he won, mm-hmm. when Brock won. I'm like, no, wait, did that just happen?
Right.
Like so many questions. I mean, good questions. This is the good kind of question to have. But it's like, now was it really that bad?
I mean, well, like I said, it was having its moments. If to me, it just went way too long and had way too many pauses. When it was the high intensity. No, last year with Goldberg, and I am not a Goldberg fan at all. I've made that very clear on these shows in the past.
Yeah.
But that match last year with Lesnar mm-hmm. Goldberg was spectacular because the energy was high. Mm-hmm. It went about 5 minutes. It didn't need to go much longer than that, but both guys were just going back and forth, full throttle, suplexes. Crowd was super into it. And there were points in this match where the crowd was super into it. But then it wasn't that the match slowed down. The match just stopped multiple times. Mm-hmm. If you took that out and you made this between a 6 to 8 minute, you know, fast pace with nothing, you know, it's fine. German suplex, Superman punch, belly to belly, F5, spear. Fine. They could do the same five, six moves repeatedly because they're so vicious, but have them just keep bouncing back and forth with it. But then, just to have F5, kick out, sit there for 90 seconds, not knowing what to do. Let's do another F5, another kick out, sit there for another 90 seconds.
And I think the worst part was, like, it felt like after every F5 kick out, there was, like, no reaction. I was like, oh, he kicked out. And but again, yeah. that's because everybody thought that Roman was going to win. All right, we get it already. And also, too, something I noticed during the match is, I'm not really buying Roman as, like, a sympathetic babyface. He looks too much of a badass to be like, oh, I'm sad, I'm hurt. Like, no, kick some ass, dude. I think that's where the beginning of the booking started going bad for him at Royal Rumble 2015, where he didn't just kick ass. Like, he kind of, Big Show and Kane kind of fought each other, and that's why he lost, you know? Mm-hmm. But then everything changed because then he lost, you know? The fact that he lost changes everything.
Because the whole storyline was, okay, I'm angry at Brock because he's never there. We got to bring the Universal title back.
Yeah.
Have it there in running places. And then Brock wins.
Yeah. That changes.
It changes a lot of things.
Do you think that they did it on purposely to piss off everybody?
No. I think this was more to people's delight. I think more people are happy that Brock retained than Roman winning.
Really? Because I heard a lot of chants. I heard CM Punk chants. I heard Johnny Wrestling chants.
You don't want that when Roman Reigns is wrestling, though.
I heard, this is awful chants.
Right, because the crowd hated both of them. But if they were to pick one or the other, I think they would pick Brock.
Maybe, but I just think it's also, we've seen this match before.
Yes, and we've like seen Reigns main event thing. 4 straight pay-per-views.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or for 4 straight manias,
for me,
say.
I actually liked this match. I thought it was fun to watch. I thought it was great. I thought Roman did amazing doing those kickouts. I really believe in those 1, 2, 3, not even 3, but those seconds of Roman kicking out. Roman, one point in my mind when Brock busted him open, I feel like the referee was told, hey, tell Brock, bust him open because the crowd is probably not into it. So when Brock got when Brock busted Roman, all that blood coming out, people are now kind of getting into it. The blood face on Roman looked like a massacre.
Mm-hmm. He was leaking bad.
Yeah, it was no joke.
Yeah.
No joke. And of course, going on the announce table, so much stuff was going on. Overall, I really think I'm confused.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
Well, honestly,
why would they have Brock Lesnar win it?
Is Reigns going to come on Raw tomorrow and feel like and people treat him like he's a failure?
Did you see the end?
That prediction.
I saw the end with like him being angry of wait, what happened? Type deal.
Like after that video package,
I saw him go to his wife.
No, I didn't
see the video package. It's pretty much match ended. You see that video package that they always show at Mania?
Of all the shows.
And then
they
cut to Reigns pretty much walking back to the locker room.
Okay.
So it's pretty much him like, you know, dejected, like, oh my God, like I failed, you know? So yeah, so that kind of, I thought that was cool.
So now with this, I feel that this is going on top of my head. I feel Roman's going to come out being very, very upset and going straight to Vince McMahon.
To do what?
To do what?
I don't know. Just to be to scream, yell at him,
and
maybe
lost.
Yeah, but maybe him and Vince could probably have a storyline.
But he lost.
Yeah, but like, but there was no interference. There was no cheating.
Like, no, I know. But like, just to be upset the fact that Brock Lesnar is a champion, we all.
He had his chance and he lost.
Yeah, if he does that, then he's gonna be a heel because then he's whining and complaining for no reason.
Exactly, make him a heel.
Well, they've been saying that for 3 years now.
Just make him a heel.
Do you not like Roman?
I like Roman.
Okay,
I just want him to be a heel.
Because it's funny because like a lot of people who don't like Roman are like, I want him to be a heel. Then he is a heel if you don't like him.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't get what people say.
No, I'm probably like the 1% that actually likes Roman
Reigns. I like Roman Reigns a lot. Again, it's one of those, this is one of those unique matches where I'm like, everything changed once the finish happened. I was literally watching it with my Undertaker losing the streak face. Like yeah. Did that just happen? Like, oh my God. Like, it's one of those where I don't think it's so much, you know, them trying to fool anybody. It was more so like, you think you know, but like, you really have no idea. Like, you really thought that we're going to have this portray this one. And it's like, so kudos to WWE. Kudos to the writers for having just a great weekend.
Yes.
Whether it's Roderick Strong turning heel yesterday.
TakeOver was the most perfect pay-per-view as a whole in years.
Yeah, or just in general. It's
congratulations to Adam Cole.
Yeah. Yes, the Iron Man.
Congratulations to Aleister Black.
Or even like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens losing. Like, I thought that was shock. I thought
the question is what's happening with them now, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that, like, especially this match, I thought Shane would have taken the pin, you know, because obviously he's a non-wrestler.
Didn't have anything to benefit. I thought Shane or Daniel were going to turn on each other.
Yeah, and I thought Shane would have turned. And then Asuka tapping out. Like, just little things like that where it's like, man, like, what a
great Nakamura's heel turn.
Yeah, like, what a great weekend of just good writing.
Of good. Surprisingly,
yeah.
Good job to everybody who did the graphics and the promotional.
Yeah,
yep.
That's something that I really, really enjoy with WWE is how fast paced they are to cut those video packages within minutes and seconds.
I will say this though, and maybe like if this show was, let's just do the main show, which was 5 hours long, maybe. 3.5 hours in, I thought this was like the perfect WrestleMania. I thought everything about this show was just amazing. The fact that the last two matches were kind of like, I don't know, maybe it was a placement. It was like, oh, you were doing so good. It was like an A++, and I just think of it's an A. Mm-hmm. But overall, I thought the show was
amazing. Are you blaming Nicholas for that?
A little bit. A little bit.
Hear that, Nicholas? George is calling you out.
A little salty.
Yeah,
I don't know. Again, maybe my rating might change just because it's unfair to kind of critique Mania as a whole right now. Hey, sure. Let's see what they're going to do on Raw.
Right.
Let's see what they're going to where are they going with Nicholas? Where are they going with, you know, the Shinsuke heel turn, things like that, you know? So it's kind of like, hey, yeah, let me see what they do and how that plays out. Because if anything, they're probably working right now. I'm sure, you know, they have probably had the WrestleMania party, but I'm sure in some corner right now, it's the writers and Vince talking like, well, what are we going to do tomorrow, guys? What are we going to do? It continues, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for this WWE 24.
Oh, sure.
I'm very excited for it. It's going to be fun.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun this weekend with the Hall of Fame and TakeOver and WrestleMania, and now we got Raw tomorrow, SmackDown on Tuesday.
Raw's going to be insane.
So many questions, so many surprises tonight. We want to hear all of your thoughts about it. You can leave comments on the YouTube page, comments on the iTunes. Make sure you rate and leave comments and tell everyone to subscribe to AfterBuzz. And in the meantime, you could also talk to us on various forms of social media. Anissa, how can we reach out to you?
You can follow me on social media at Anissa Bard. This Wednesday, we will be having some fun guests for the women's wrestling panel that we have here at AfterBuzz. Tomorrow, I'll be joining the Raw panel, so tune into that because it's going to be so much fun, and I'm very excited. Who's going to be up? What's going to happen with Roman Reigns? I'm hoping Peyton Royce comes to Raw.
Well, she's got to come with Billie Kay, like
and
you said.
And Billie Kay, and Nikki Cross, and all these amazing superstars from NXT. Bring them all up.
I'm always worried because those rosters are so crowded.
Uh-huh.
Like, so beyond crowded that it's like, I'm hoping they have room for more people. But we can always talk about that on social media, GHERMOZA, Twitter, Instagram. Let's be real. Like, if you want to tweet me at me, let's bring back the road to 600 followers. Hashtag Road to 600 followers. I'm like, I've been like,
we need five, the prediction championship like back.
Five.
By the way, Steve Kaufman will tweet out who won the predictions because we don't.
Yeah, I've been like at 553 followers for like a year now. Hey, let's get it to 600.
Get George to 600 followers, people. And you can follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram The Will Rosenberg, ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. Through Monday, use promo code MANIA. You get 20% off your order, so you can get my share of the deal. And also collarandelbowbrand.com, promo code Rosenberg, save yourself 10%. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much. Hope you all enjoyed WrestleMania. For Anissa Barr and George Hermosa, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.